Ephesians chapter 2. My message this morning is, what mind are you going to believe? What mind are you going to believe? Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start with verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead, notice this, in trespasses and sins. A trespass means a mistake or fault or error or wrongdoing. And sins, here plural, means a deliberate act. So, at one time, we trespassed people's lives and we sinned in our life. And notice he says, and you were made alive who were dead in or under the nature of trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course, according to the age of this world system, according to the prince of the power of the air. Actually, the word prince means ruler. It's a small p. And notice what he said, and power, this is the Greek word authority, of the air. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And the sons of disobedience are those around the world that do not have Christ in them. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, notice, conducted ourselves in the desires of our flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now the word mind here is the Greek word dianoia. It literally means that we once had a mind that literally meditated a thinking through something. It's a form of meditation. So at one time we had a mind that was in a state of meditating. And of course we know that the meditation that he speaks of is the desires of the flesh. And notice he said, and we're by nature the children of wrath. And he says we also had a nature. And we were actually children, notice this, of wrath. Wrath means a state of the mind. In a vengeful state, to punish by a position of self-vindication for preservation. Oh, that's what we call self-centeredness. Then he goes on to say, just as the others. The others that he's speaking about is those who have not received Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, because his great love with which he loved us. Boy, can you see, was there anything in us that he could love? Even when we were dead in trespasses. Now, the translation put, made us alive together with Christ. Actually, it means to quicken to life with Christ. To quicken to life with Christ. And by grace, notice this, you have been saved. Can I hear an amen? You know, we ought to be thankful that we're saved. Amen. Now notice this, he not only saved us, but watch this, and raised us up together. And made us sit together. And made us sit together. And made us sit together. in heavenly places. Oh, I like that. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, guess what? When he said, and made us sit together in heavenly places, it not only talks about us sitting together because we're good friends. We sit together because we're all sons and daughters of the living God. It means we're all going to be seated up there with him right now. That means the ugly brother that you have a hard time with is going to be there too. Amen. Now notice this. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Boy, these verses are packed, people. Now notice this. The word riches there is plousia. It means no end to it. Oh, wow. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And, are you ready? And that not of yourselves. Do you know what we've been talking about right now? Everything that we've been talking about had nothing to do with us. It's all on him. He did something for us. So when we say we're saved, guess what? You're saved not of yourself. You were saved by grace. Boy, that ought to be enough for us to have another shout and dance and run. Hey, we are here not because we wanted to be here. We were here because he put us here. Why? We were dead in our own trespasses and sins. We were doing the will of the mind and the lust of the flesh. We were having a good old time till Jesus came in and did something to us and for us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's good news. Now watch this. Oh, I'll tell you, these verses are so powerful when you bond to them, when you connect to them. And here we go. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now here goes. Now we're reading scriptures your natural thinking cannot wrap itself around these thoughts. How many of you ever gone someplace and had discovered something that was far beyond yourself and you said to yourself, well, I can't do that. How many of you ever had the thought, I can't do it? Well, what we're dealing with here has nothing to do with what you can or can't do. It has nothing to do with anything that you could work to do. These verses are talking about is something that he did in spite of you. Now watch this. Well, what did he do? Well, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Notice this. For good works.
Well, how far can I go in sin without losing my salvation?
Uh-oh. I like that. Uh-oh. Now we're getting off into our head. We're getting off into our thing. We're getting off into something we don't realize gets in our way. Now watch this. It's enough to have these verses tell you what he did for you in spite of you. But I like what he adds to it. He says, for we are his workmanship. The Greek means product. We are his product. Are you ready? Product created. And the word created here means to create or produce a product out of nothing.
Glory.
Praise God. So you mean to tell me he did something for me? That even though he did it, he considered it a product out of nothing? You mean before I made him my Savior, I was a product of nothing? And so what he did is he came into my life and he did something for me, and now I'm a product of his workmanship. And it's out of my life, which is nothing. Amen. That puts it all on his shoulders. And then he goes on to say, in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. That's predestination. And I'm not talking about predestination as each individual, certain ones called and certain ones not called. No, he called all of humanity. But what he predestined was the image, the product of his workmanship in him. He predestinated everybody. Now watch this. That beforehand, that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles, notice this, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made with hands, or by hands, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Now what about this circumcision or uncircumcision? When you get born again, your inner man, your spirit, the real you, has been cut away from the body of flesh. That's why it calls you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Didn't stop there. That you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, old things. What old thing? The old man. The old person that you once were, you no longer is. But you have been buried, put in the grave. But you still, as a spiritual being, occupy a physical body. But here's the difference. Your physical body at the cross had been declared a cadaver in the grave. Yep. The only thing that should be talking to you now is the new person you are in Jesus Christ. But you know what? Most of us are such a product of two minds speaking to us even after we get born again. We have one mind that the Bible declares crazy. It is a mind not subject to the law of God. Now, the verse in Romans 8:7 even adds, neither can be. You know, I didn't have a problem dealing with one mind. Because before I got saved, I was doing the will of that mind. And I was doing the desires of my flesh. Why? Because I didn't have another mind called God consciousness come into my life and said, you can't do that. How many of you inherited a mind that was contrary to the flesh that said, now this is a heavy Greek word, it's called no. I didn't know that mind existed until I got born again. And all of a sudden, everything I previously had been doing had a no attached to it. And quite frank, Sue and I, one day we said, well, this is the boringest thing we've ever done. I can't do what I used to do. Why? Something on the inside of me, like Kenneth Hagin said, goes to scratch it. The word for workmanship or product is the Greek word poimen. And here's what this is the word they use. And this word, poimen, that comes out of for poetry or poets. But when this word was termed at that time, it literally would be better saying this. For you are his entire creativity. For you are his entire creativity. It means that when God did something for you beyond yourself that you couldn't do anyway, even if you tried to do it, you couldn't do it. And God still did it because he has confidence in what he'd laid out to make you apart from yourself, a product that was nothing. He made something out of it by his creativity. Now, can I ask you something? Can you grasp that with your natural mind? I'll tell you, no!
Right.
You can't. You can't grasp that with your natural mind. Why? Turn over to Isaiah 55. You know, it's funny how in time as we travel in our growth with the Lord, many of us crop up doctrines that we don't realize that these doctrines were created because our natural mind couldn't comprehend what God was saying to begin with. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It took every bit, every ounce of energy. It took everything within me to reach out to try and discover what God had created in me, a product of nothing, made it into something. Now, think about that. Here you're a product of nothing. And his entire creativity was invested in you. Amen. He did something to you. Now, how many of you know that when God does something, he knows what he's doing? How many of you ever woke up in the morning and said, boy, when you really think about space, I guess they got a movie out now called Gravity. When you think about space, even the name gives me the spooks. Has your mind ever tried to grasp where the end of space is? It's freaky when you think about it. Here we are, a planet, in gazillions of planets, gazillions upon gazillions. We can't even grasp with our mind the end of space. And God was here before that. I want you to think about it. They have planets out there that make this one look like a little dot. And to travel in time and space, the furthest point, where do you go to the furthest point to try and figure out how long it would take you to get there? You'd never get there. You'd be dead and gone, probably starting at a quarter of it for time. How does God create the universe and then weighs the balance of it in his hand? I call that a pretty good God, wouldn't you? So if that's the case, then if he put his entire creativity in us, would it not behoove us to believe that? No. You got to be careful here. You can't go around saying that God's entire creativity was in you. No, you're putting yourself equal with God. You know, that verse Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. The equality that he's referring to there is not what God is and you're to become. That's the wrong kind. The equality that he's speaking of is his creatability in you. You need to think just like he created you to be. That's what he was referring to on equality. Because then you're in your right perspective. Did you guys understand what I just said? In other words, what he has made me and predestinated me to be in God, do not think it being robbery to have your mind wrap itself around what God had created you to be apart from yourself. He wasn't saying try to have the same mind that God had, and all-knowing and deity and all. That's craziness, people. There ain't no end to God. If you find an end to God, you'll find an end to eternity. And I don't think we're going to find that. So why am I even bringing this subject up? Well, look at Isaiah 55. We'll start with verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, that goes with that. That goes without even questioning. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Well, that goes without question. But here's the clicker. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Now, how many of you would realize that heaven and earth have a pretty good distance? Matter of fact, we don't really know where the third heaven is. It could be in the center of the universe. But what if it's on the edge of the universe? We don't know. What I'm trying to get across to you, how many of you recognize that's a good distance? Yeah. So he goes and says, our thinking and our ways don't match his.
Right.
So that means give God credit for what he has revealed to us, that he has done for us. Because after all, our thinking and his thinking, our ways and his ways, are entirely different. How different? So far apart, you don't even know how far. I wish I could give you a nautical miles, but I guess we could ask Dean how many nautical miles it took him to get to the third heaven. So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty without fruit. Is what it says in the Hebrews. Empty without fruit. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now connect that up to what we read in Ephesians chapter 2. That without us having anything to do with it, we are a product of nothing. And he took his entire creatability and did something on the inside of us that is called God indwelt. Now can your natural mind grasp that? No. It cannot grasp that. Your natural mind cannot grasp that, neither indeed can be. So let me ask you something. Why in the world do we lose confidence so quickly? Because somehow within us we have the ability to not have confidence with what God has called us to be, that he made it us. That he made us. I'm going to tell you something. When we got into this body thing, lot of you ought to be in that Sunday school class. You think you know about the body, but you don't know the body. And I'm going to tell you something. Satan knows the body. Because God said, because of the fall, you've inherited this earth. And you're taken from it. So he knows how to play against you in it. You think you know. But the problem is we got two minds we have to deal with. We have what's called the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. When I got onto the born again trail, that's what Dave called it, Dave Roberson. He made this statement, and John brought to my memory. He said, when you go down this born again trail, the born again trail is talking about what happened to you when you got born again spiritually. He said, when you go down this trail, you'll find everything connected right off that trail. And I found it, called the body of flesh. The place that God had positioned in death, my body, called the cross. And the Apostle Paul brought out that wisdom does not begin in the heart of a person till they understand the purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross is for you to get a revelation of the position that your physical man had been declared on it. So the next time you watch the movie The Passion, don't be grieved by what Jesus went through. Be rejoicing of what he went through, because that was the wrath of God poured out on you. That's why it was called the claims of justice satisfied. So when we look at the movie, The Passion, and I'll never forget it. When I was looking at the movie, I was weeping inside. And I said, what love you have for mankind that you would do that. And I'll never forget it. God spoke to me and said, don't grieve. I was pouring that out on you. What? Don't grieve. You should be happy. You should rejoice, for in the mind of God, he was crucifying you and me for our transgressions, not his. See how that deals with your mind? You think, my gosh. And I'm going to tell you what we all fall to deception with. Are you ready? We all fall deception because we have a mind called self-image. And that's how we want to connect with God. You cannot connect with God through your self-image. Because your self-image was created through that first birth that you were born into the world with. You were raised by a prince, the power of the air, that works in the children of disobedient, that you're no longer a child of disobedient for. So what we got to do is get down and repent for listening to that mind and stand up and do something that we're not normally accustomed to do, and that is to declare what we are in his workmanship as a product of nothing to become something in him. How I caught it was, thank God for the original language that we have copies of. And I'll never forget, if you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Are you getting something out of this? I'm trying to convince you that Christ, in Christ Jesus, he made you a new creature in him. And you're no longer to be. There isn't one of us in this building here, not one of us in this building, that can stand up without lying and saying, I can't overcome. I can't do it. You know what that is? That is a lie out of your own mouth. You are a liar. Because God created you in Christ Jesus. If you've been born again, quit lying to yourself and stand up and say, I can overcome. I can be a world overcomer. I know how to fight the good fight of faith. I know how to overcome. The problem is, what you need to do is start quitting loving the things of the world and start loving the things of God more. And you'll find that you can do a whole lot in God. Reason a lot of us hold on to our own darkness. Now this is what we call a mystery. It's called the mystery of lawlessness. We hang on to the body of flesh, not because we hate it, because we love it. Some of us get born again, our body's plunked in the grave, and before a week's out, we'll run back to the graveyard and pull the cadaver up and start walking with it again. Now, how much sense is that going to make? How is God going to relate to you through, in His mind, a cadaver? The only way that there's any relating whatsoever is for God to have grace on you to get delivered from the grave that you've been placed in. Most of us don't realize how stupid that is. Here we get seated in heavenly place and we're walking around in a graveyard.
And what do you got for me today, graveyard?
That's sure not where God's thoughts are. He didn't say, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. If you want to know my thoughts, go to the graveyard. No, He went someplace else with His thinking. That's where we need to go. Now look at in Matthew 11. Look at this one verse. Let's look at verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Why would He say, until the days of John the Baptist? Because John the Baptist's ministry was a ministry of Elijah to herald the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And notice it said, the kingdom of God suffered violence from that day forth. Why? Because Jesus appeared now to exegesis, the Father. He became the reality that was obscured concerning God the Father. I come to interpret Him. I come to explain Him for you to understand what? What He created you to be in His product, His workmanship. To take something that made you a nothing and created something out of nothing that you are something. Boy, that's hard to grasp. But I'm supposed to have that mind in me. I'm supposed to let that mind be in me. What? What He created me to be apart from me. Do you know when people go to religion, that's what they deny His workmanship for the labor of their own hands. And Cain tried that, and it didn't work. We got to come His way, in His way of thinking. So if He said you were righteous in Him, you are. I don't care what your self-image tells you. You are. Your self-image will say, look at you, you pathetic thing. You have ate yourself out of your clothes. How can you trust God? Look at you, you pathetic thing. You bought glasses and you're retracting. Your eyes should be healed and you should not wear glasses. Won't take my glasses off and stomp on them, but don't be around me when I'm driving. I wouldn't need glasses if I was looking out through my spiritual eyes. I have to look out through my spiritual eyes with these glasses right here. It's called the Word of God. Just because I wear glasses doesn't mean I don't believe God. If I think I'm so heavenly minded, then I don't need to eat no more. Because when I get to heaven, I ain't going to have to eat. You'd waste away in death. You see, your natural thinking cannot comprehend God's thinking. You have to read what God says about you and accept it by faith and learn to walk in it. And this other mind called the mind of the flesh will begin to lose its foothold. He will begin to have his big flapping mouth shut up because you keep ignoring him to the point where I know what you're saying, but you're a liar. This is what God has made me to be.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I liked it. Come on. Come on. Come on, you guys. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you always try to relate to God through your own thinking, your own mistakes, your own shortcomings? How many of you do that to yourself? Come on. All of us have done it. Everyone in this room has done it. But that don't mean God's changed. Oh, no. God don't change. His grace is there, period. Why? He knows that you have to walk in this body. But that's why it says his spirit. The spirit of Christ. Not the Holy Ghost, the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ quickens or makes alive the cadaver. To where now God uses it so that the inner man comes out of it, shines out of it. See, God said his kingdom and your kingdom can't dwell together. If you try to mix them, you'll hate the one and cling to the other. It happens every time. When believers start backsliding, the first thing they turn on is the church. They ought to turn on the world. Well, I'm ticked off being in church, but I ain't going to the world. Why? Because the world I was delivered from. Yes, amen. Enjoy your ticked off. But if you want to backslide, you lose interest in the kingdom of God. You'll go to the world and you'll turn on the church. Guarantee every time. You'll find some chip so that your log can vindicate itself. What is your log? The chip pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Chips. No, it's time we have to challenge ourselves. What has God said we are in him? His gospel declares it. Did you know that in Ephesians chapter 6, in closing, Ephesians chapter 6, well, let me finish this verse here. The kingdom of God suffers violence up till John the Baptist. Kingdom of God suffers violence. Why did it stop with John, or start with John the Baptist? Here's why. Because the ministry of John the Baptist is to reveal Christ. Christ is to reveal the Father. It means a beginning of a complete different generation. It is a generation of his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, predestined for you to become. Things are different now. It was pressed in. It was forced. It was pulled down because Christ had not come. But now that Christ is here, now it's a different story. Because when John the Baptist appeared and revealed Christ, in Christ we were created his workmanship, his product in him. Now that that has been revealed, now we can turn around and we can do the same thing to the kingdom of darkness. We can press in on it. We can force ourselves into the kingdom of the dear Son, his life. Press, scratch, pull, do everything we can to enter into what he has made us. So that we can do warfare against the kingdom of darkness. That's what that's referring to. But you have to be stubborn. You have to be determined. You have to be willing. You got to bring in all diligence so that you can be what Christ said you to be. Because the kingdom of darkness is not going to lay down unless you just walk into it. you got another thing coming. You have to push yourself. You have to press yourself. That's why a lot of Christians never come to the revelation that they have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You are righteous. You've been declared righteous. Now turn to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to put a mind bender on you. If we are His workmanship, created for good works, He must have a lot of confidence in what He did for us. Amen? Yep. Amen? Yeah. I love you, honey. Look at verse 25. I like in Hebrews it says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despises shame. Why? He had a work going on. Who was delivered up because of our offenses? He was delivered up because we were the toads. And, are you ready? This is a mind-blowing verse. And was raised because of our justification. Did you guys get that? You know, thank God He rose from the dead. Thank God the tomb was empty. Thank God that His workmanship was validated. Yeah. See, He couldn't come out of that grave until in the mind of God, we were justified. Couldn't have come out of the grave. He'd have been lost forever. We'd have been in sin forever. We would have not known the chaotic mess this world went. But He could not. And you know, you tell some Christians that and they say, oh, what are you talking about? He can do anything. He's God. I told a brother, I said, do you know there's a verse that says he couldn't be raised from the dead until we were justified. Why? That's putting God on our level. Absolutely. Absolutely. God came down on our level, not to deny what He was as deity, but He brought Himself into this world as a human being. Anointed of the Holy Ghost. He never did anything because He was the pre-incarnate God. He did it all because He was anointed of God as a man. He came co-equal to where we're at. So that when He was tempted on all points like the first Adam, He did not fail. He had to pass the test. He had to become the perfect sacrifice so that what God created and predestinated us to be in Him, that had to be declared, sealed, and delivered before He could come out of the grave. Your justification. And next time that carnal mind of you tries to get you to believe less than what God has created you to be, then you're listening to a mind that will even turn you to a place where you'll even forget you were purged from your old sins and begin to walk back through the body of flesh. And then that's what we call, now you bring your spirit back to the place it was before it got be born again. That is called spiritual bondage. Did you guys get something here today? It's time we grow up and be what God... Did you know that according to Ephesians 6, not one time did the Apostle Paul ever say that you're to meet the devil on your own self grounds? Everything he said about armor is what God created you in Christ Jesus to be. He says that's what you take before the enemy. Your righteousness, the gospel of peace. Everything that God has made you to be is what you have to go to the enemy with. And stand in his face and say, I'm going to take this sword and cut your head off. And he's going to run from you like a freak and start shooting arrows at you. We're called to do hand-to-hand combat. Yeah. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. I pray that I did them justice this morning. Sorry, I got to yelling so loud again. I got to watch that. I was irritating myself listening to Sam play me back on the TV. And I was trying to talk to my staff one day. And I said, well, that guy quit screaming. So I walked down there and said, who are you listening to? And Sam says, you. I get so excited, I start screaming. So forgive me, I'm working on it. Keep screaming, Sue says, keep screaming. Sue's in my grace lately. She learned how to record Seahawk games. The kingdom of Butler suffered violence. So Sue took it by force. I love you, honey. Praise God. Well, are you all going to challenge yourself to be what you're supposed to be? Listen, that carnal mind, it has probably convinced some of you of something totally opposite that God says you are. You know, Satan, he tries to bring us to a place of deception so that when we are deceived, he wants to jump on our case. Why did you do that stupid thing, you idiot? The whole purpose of Satan is to come to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. Stand up, everybody. What you got, Mike? Here, take this mic. And put it up to your mouth so we can hear you.
I was listening to you talk this morning. I was having it all making a mess until Jesus came and put us to the test. We were all having it all until Jesus put a stop to the fall. My flesh was happy running around the world, but my captain, the God of this world. Then he, Christ, came in and my knees started to bend. Then my heart said, stop it. I want Jesus to come in. Then my spirit said, I feel it. And I wanted to deal with it. Suddenly my flesh was put to the test, but it was not able to overcome God's best. Because his spirit subdued my flesh. Wow. Then my heart and my spirit came in to the Lord God Almighty and took away my sin. Now I'm having a real ball, because I've got over the fall. Thanks to him, Christ, you are.
Praise God. That, praise God, that was good, Mike. Man, you have some creativity. Okay. All right. Praise God. That was good. Yes. Came out of your spirit. You had to be listening to me to come up with that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us, Father. Father, the message I tried to give him today came right from your throne, Father, to encourage all of us to put our mind around what you've created us to be. We don't want Jesus to die in vain over our life, but Father, we want him to see us standing in that hope that was set before him. I know that he saw us all there. Let us be there, Father. And Father, my prayer to my people this morning that you've blessed me with. My prayer is they come, just like Paul said, that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened, that they know what is their calling, how precious they are to you, Father. Father, I would hate to be a man wishing that I was never born. If I can't be with you eternally. Father, we all make mistakes. We all go through hard times. We say things that are wrong and we do things that are wrong. But build a clear understanding in our heart and mind so that we'd be examples that even the Hagans were to us. Prayer and watching what we say with our mouths. And to trust and have faith in you. Father, I declare that you're everything. Without you, we have nothing. But because we have you, we have everything. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you so much. If there's anybody here this morning that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we would love to you to come forward. Let us pray with you. Change your life. God will do it. He'll change your life. He'll write His words on the tablets of your heart. And if you've been born again, but you feel that you need to rededicate your life, we want to do that for you this morning. We'd love to pray for you. We hope that you had it settled in the communion, but if not, we would love to pray with you. And last, but it's sure not the least, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, oh, that tongue, it is to build your most holy faith. Jude told us that. You need it. So if you need any one of those areas, we'd love to pray with you. So right now, take the time and step out and come forward. Anybody, feel free to do that. If you're here and you fit one of those areas, don't be ashamed. Come forward. We'd be glad to pray with you. Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, will you all promise me something? Will you meditate on this sermon today and rethink what God has done for you and get out of that old way of thinking? Romans 8 is very clear. The mind of the flesh can't do anything for you. It's the mind of the Spirit that brings life and peace. With that said, Father, I dismiss your people today. And Father, you love them so much. And Father, may they have a good day and may the Seahawks win. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.